I've had people ask, if you could do anything, what would you do? And you know what? I would do this job all over. I'd start over again tomorrow and go right back into it.
For me, it's about giving back to the community and giving back to a worthy cause. That's what I've been about for the last 30 years in my work career.
I just want to help make change, to make this place more welcoming for people who aren't able-bodied, cis, straight, white people.
I want to help this community grow, to be able to accept all people, especially with a college that I know recruits a lot of non-white people for their sports team. I want people to be able to come here and have a good education, or if a person of color does move up here, that they're able to start a family and not have fear of going out in public or contacting law enforcement or getting medical help because of being discriminated against.
I really appreciate how our community is and that I get to be a part of that. In my role here at the police department, my law enforcement career, I've been fortunate to be able to do many different aspects of the job and be involved in my community.
How do you feel about law enforcement?
I've had both positive and negative experiences with law enforcement in the area. To be honest, I kind of avoid police officers. I really don't look at them if I'm driving. I really don't want to spark any sort of, I guess, put any ideas in their head that maybe I need to be pulled over or something.
I think there's a lot of distrust for officers in general, whether it be in rural Minnesota or a metropolitan area. It's just something that has been instilled. After watching many different interactions, it's made me just not trust police officers. I just feel like a lot of officers, or I guess the whole police and law enforcement in the state and or in the country, is based off of old racial discrimination. So I just don't like to interact with them if I don't have to, because I just don't feel like I'm going to be treated fairly compared to my white counterparts.
They have to show up every day and they have this huge responsibility. I've experienced a lot of wonderful officers that show empathy and professionalism. There are officers that went above and beyond. That has been the positive.
Women of color, and this is a consistent theme, will take abuse from someone because they're afraid to call law enforcement. Because they're afraid that they'll go to jail or be charged with something. They'll put up with that and what they have to for the sake of their children or to not be in trouble.
I witness people of poverty or people of color be made into criminals when they're not. And I think there's a deep embedded bias, the implicit bias.
I appreciate the officers that come to the table and are willing to have conversations with the community. I would like to have that happen during the time that they're in training so they don't lose that feeling of being a really important part of our community, because we need them.
Most of the time, the complaints I receive are not about what happened, but about how the officer made someone feel. They say, you know, I just feel like this officer didn't really care. I didn't feel like they put a lot of effort into my situation.
How do you feel about your community?
I work on being proactive with our community, and we're here to work for our customer. We're here to work for the people. You know what I mean? And we stress that to our deputies. Just be kind at all times. If you treat your people with respect, we're going to get that back.
Back in the day, we had all of the neighborhoods engaged. We'd have our officers there, and we'd all go to the big parks and have gatherings, and we'd spend hours having a phenomenal time. How can we re-engage and get that going again to build those community relations? I'll be very honest with you. It's been one of the most frustrating things for us because the community doesn't have time. Nobody really wants to step up or to help organize on the citizen part. They don't have time for it anymore. So it was too much to organize. We couldn't get meetings together. We couldn't get the community engaged anymore. So we're just like, why is that? Is it because of us? Or is everybody just that busy?
If we don't engage and work with our community, we're just going to be continuously being pulled apart from one another. We need to build those relationships and establish those bridges to all the other resources that we have. We need to work as a big team, as opposed to just on our own little islands.
Our community as a whole? I mean, there's got to be that respect.
What would you like them to know?
It's really complicated.
You wear about 15 different hats when you're a cop. You wear the hat of being a counselor, a psychologist, a pastor, a minister. You know what I mean? Because we're there, we're the first line of defense, and we're trying to get people who are going through things to try to get them outside of whatever's happening at that time. But that requires us to wear so many different hats.
I wear a lot of hats. I'm exposed to a lot of diversity and diverse populations in my work life. And I also have diversity in my family. I feel like I've been given some situations and experiences that make me more aware of different things that happen in this area. And as painful as it is, honestly, I have to tell you, I have some incredible grief with some of the things that I've experienced in this area and how marginalized populations and people of color have been mistreated. I just feel like it's just time for us to just really step up and do what we have to and what we can to make a change.
We wear many hats. We're good at maybe one or two of them. We're really good at. And we're just okay at some of the other ones. We continue to get trained, but any one person can only do so many things very good.
I would like law enforcement to partner with people or give some of their duties to another group so they can focus and be trained and hyper-focused on one area or maybe just a few areas, but not everything. And if they do end up having to stay in the role that they're in and take on all of these different calls from different life experiences, I think it'd be good for them to be trained by people who have that experience or are experts in that field.
I think training is a big deal. That's where your muscle memory comes into play. And you have to have a partner on certain things, with the community and with experts in different fields.
It's hard because it's often in that split-second reaction. How are you going to react to a really tense situation? And it may save your life.
I think implicit bias training, cultural competency training, changing even the curriculum in policing.
We have a policy and procedure test that our deputies and staff, jail and dispatchers, have to take every single day. Every day. When I say every day, it means that they have 30 a month that they have to take, which is basically a policy and procedure test every day. They read over it, they answer yes, no, multiple questions, and they don't continue on until they make sure they understand that policy and procedure.
It is a very, very tough job. The money doesn't motivate people. What motivates people is their well-being. They want to be appreciated, and they want to help the community, but at the same time, they have to take care of themselves. We've gotten into really watching our officers, really looking at wellness programs, really looking at scheduling, of being able to allow people to be off for a period of time, to get that break that they need, to be fresh when they come back, and not to be frustrated.
There's not a cop that doesn't bring this job home. And most of the time, when they're bringing something home, they're off duty, it really still affects them. A 10-hour day of dealing with mental crises and domestics and stuff like that can be very demanding. It's not like any other job.
If they were empathetic and absorbed it all and took it back with them after they left the office, after they left the person's house, I mean, you know why we have officer suicides. I mean, we've got to have the balance. I don't know how to find that.
People in law enforcement have a higher rate of suicide, have a higher rate of domestic abuse in their families, a higher rate of alcoholism. I want police to know that we want you to be okay. Because the reality is that most of us have not chosen that profession. So how can we support you? We care about you. We want you to be okay.
Where does it hurt?
When I see tension between law enforcement and the community, especially racial tension, that is something that's really impacted me a great deal.
I've seen the way police officers interact on both sides, towards my white mom and my mixed race brother. I've seen the way they talk to my brother compared to the way they talk to my mom. I've just grown up in an area where there were a lot of police officers that weren't very respecting of people of color.
My theory has always been to not generalize.
People see us and think we're just cops when we're in a marked squad car. The thing is we're much more than that. We all have families. We're normal people, just like everyone else.
They look at us as a whole.
You can watch how people of color are criminalized and dehumanized as a person. It's over and over again. And when someone's dehumanized like that, just to steal their power, it's truly just so awful.
I have this incredible grief. This grief that is so, it is so deep. My son is so vulnerable because, yeah, he really could die. He could also end up in prison for nothing. It's so often that people of color have to qualify that they're good people and that they're deserving.
Listening to stories of specifically people of color who are followed or drug out of their car, that just absolutely breaks my heart. Because I also hear those kinds of stories around individuals who have mental health challenges. There's just not the ability or the want to or the knowledge about how to respond from law enforcement with that. That's really a big concern to me, that we have two sides of this camp. One is saying those blankety-blank cops, they don't understand, and they don't want to understand.
It's really about understanding and never assuming that we know what trauma looks like for somebody else, either side of that discussion.
Everybody has implicit bias. Everybody. We all know that. Everybody has it.
People should not be abused by other people, period.
Especially not the people that are supposed to be keeping us safe.
How can we heal?
I want to hear from police officers as people. I want to hear about their families, hear about their past experiences, what they think could help when it comes to the interactions in the community, and the way that law enforcement feels under overtrained in certain areas. Just what their thoughts are. And I want them to openly listen to ours. They're not just this authoritative figure that comes and tells you what to do. They're genuine people underneath that have their own thoughts and opinions. You can't just group them all together.
We need different ways for people to be able to communicate with an officer on an equal playing field, where it's like, hey, I'm a person, you're a person, I'm not coming to your house because I've been called, and you're not approaching me or calling me because there's some situation happening. We're just here to get to know each other, to talk, at a community event where the space is safe. Nobody's in a higher position of authority than somebody else. We're just two equal human beings trying to understand each other.
I think creating some type of safe structure for officers and people of color or marginalized populations to come together, but in order to do that, you would have to be so safe.
There needs to be more understanding between different types of people. One thing I've realized is that people are afraid of what they don't know because they don't understand. And that can lead to assumptions and negative feelings and fear towards another person, which can lead you to disrespect somebody or not allow for them to just live their lives.
We just need to communicate better, and I don't know, sometimes we don't have time. There's situations where we're not afforded the luxury to slow down.
One of the things I've learned is, if you've got time, take the time. I think that that's really where we need to go, what we really need to focus on, to slow down a little bit in this world.
I think it's about stories, true stories, true stories from people who've been impacted. Hearing, this is how that made me feel. To me, that storytelling is such a powerful, powerful way of connecting with people.
We really just need to get back to humanizing people, humanizing other humans, and know that everybody is a person with the same blood that pumps through their veins and the same body, that they've got their own families and feelings and everything. We just really need to go back to understanding that everybody is very similar and not fearing the things that we don't understand.
I think it's important we don't take a side. I think it's important that we bring both of these components together, sending that message out. We want you to be okay. We care about you. We need you in our community. That needs to go out to law enforcement. But on the other hand, our community needs to hear that law enforcement is willing to take some steps forward too.
So that both sides can see both sides. We need to be transparent. Then there would be a little bit more understanding and forgiveness maybe, or maybe not forgiveness, that isn't the right word, but a little more patience or understanding.
For your own well-being and for your community to come together, we have to understand that we have to respect one another and treat people with respect.
God, if we could just treat people a little bit nicer, I think we can go a long ways.
We need to come back together.
We just need to come back together.
We need to come together.